Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're starting the Mishnah on the third line from the top of the Amud. And the Mishnah tells us about the din of a Misukenes. The Mishnah does not define what a Misukenes is, but Miachim will see on the Amud Beis. A Misukenes is a behema that you try to stand up the behema on all fours. The animal is so weak that it collapses to the ground and it just cannot stand on its own. The doctors, the veterinarians have baskined that this animal is sick. It is not a treifa. Treifa on Daf Mem Beizim Yat Shem. When we start the new perek Elu Treifas, we're going to have 18 enumerated treifas. None of the 18 include a behema, which happens to be sickly. It has a terrible fever, and it's not feeling well, and who knows, it may be Misukenes Lomus. That's not a treifa. It's a Misukenes. And we're going to see now in the Mishnah, when is a Misukenes kosher and when is it not kosher? If you go and check the Misukenes, where there's an assumption that chulila, this animal is going to die soon, can I rely on the fact that it's still alive? Or do I have to be noivis that maybe by the time I finish shechting, the animal may be already dead even before the effect of the shechita? What can I do to go and ensure that this animal, in fact, was still full of life by the time the animal was geshachten? If after the shechita is over, you see the animal jerking its forelegs and its hind legs, or at least one foreleg and one hind leg, that type of pirchus, that type of automatic, what do they call them, spasmodic type of reaction that shows that the animal still had enough life and vitality in it so that I can assume that this animal was alive and kicking until the final moment and even after the final moment. If you look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Acha Tefarchis, the Ilay Mefarchis, because in fact if it does not do that jerking post-Shechita, Kimlu Rabbanan and Rabbanan that they knew that I have to be scared that maybe in fact this animal expired before you finish the shechita. And the
milliseconds is very
exactly. And some Soifer adds that even if this animal on its own might not have died, but as a result of the weakening of the beginning of the shechita, where we haven't gotten to the roif shechita yet, the animal has not been geshachted, that combined with its weakened state, that may have caused that the animal died already pre-roif shechita ha-simonim. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, you're right, it is a very, very serious concern, but as long as the animal continues jerking around post the shechita, then you know it had enough life that it did not die before the shechita was effected. Reb Lazar Oimer, I agree that there is a test, but it's not the pirchus yad v'regel test, daya im zinka. Now the word zinka literally means when the animal makes these deep guttural sounds at the time of the shechita, where it kind of makes a huge, huge sigh that comes from the depths of its being, and as a result it coughs up or spurts up tremendous amounts of blood. Rashi says that the word zinik could be defined here as kiluach. Kiluach means that huge stream of blood that bursts out as a result of the animal now expiring as a result of the shechita. So therefore, either one of these two, the pirchus or the zinik, is enough, according to each one, each man the yomer, according to his shita, to go and show that this animal was not a dead duck or a dead animal before it was geshachten, it was still alive at the time of the final act of shechita. Now what happens, Amar Reb Shimon, what happens if a person was a shoichet balayla, if a shoichet shechted at night, and because it was dark, he didn't see any pirchus, and he didn't see the zinuk. However, the next morning, hishkim, he gets up, and he sees that there are the walls are full of blood. Now, before you continue on, you think to yourself, what means the walls are full of blood? That the walls, meaning the walls of the Schlachthaus, are now full of blood because it burst in all directions onto the walls. But imagine we'll see tomorrow in the Gemara, and Rashi already says that the kitzur are here, that the kosolim that we're referring to is not the walls of the Schlachthaus, we're talking about the walls of the Beis HaShechita. The Beis HaShechita was full of blood more than you would normally expect by a regular average shechita. So he found that these walls of the base of shechita are full of blood. Then it's ksheira, shezinka, because it's clear that this animal must have had that kiluach. It coughed up, shkoich, coughed up this huge amount of blood. And that's why it's so bloody in the base of shechita area. Ukamidus Reblazer, like Reblazer said, that it's not the pirchus that's the test, but it's the zinuk that's the test. The Chacham Moim and the Chacham say, I agree with the Shimon Gamliel that it's a pirchus test, but it doesn't have to be biyad uberegel. Achitefarches oy biyad oy beregel. One of the two is already sufficient. Oy achitekashkesh biznova. Or if you see that the tail keeps on waving and wagging back and forth wildly post shechita, then you know that this animal still had koyach and vitality until the last moment. And this test that we're talking about, the pirchus and the zinik, it applies across the board to all bahaims. Now, continues the Mishnah, what happens as a result of the pirchus? Pirchus means, again, that the legs are kind of going out in all directions uncontrollably, it's jerking. What happens if the behemah daka pashti yoda, it spread out at one of its legs? In other words, until that moment, the legs were kind of cleaving together, and now, as a result of the shechita, is partially yoda. V'loyach zira, but the animal did not have enough koyach to return the leg to its original position. Psula she'ein eloi tzuras nefesh bulvad. In other words, this type of pishut yad, v'loyach zira, this can happen by any animal. So the fact that this particular animal is partially yoda, v'loyach zira, is not a sign of great koyches at the time of its demise, at the time of the shechita. If you want to have a pirchus, it shows that this animal is still alive and kicking until the final moment and didn't die pre-sof shechita. It's got to be pishut, yad, and herzira. Pashti yoda, one directional and not back, in nishkarai. And now the Mishnah clarifies, just in case you didn't understand what we're talking about. The medvar mamurim, all of what we're talking about, the pirchus, mit the zinuk, and the kishkush hazonav, all of that is shahoyis b'chesem esukanis. That the doctors and veterinarians and the shoychet, everybody knew that this animal is, unfortunately, quote unquote, on its deathbed. Avon hoyis b'chesem esbriyef, it was a normal, regular animal. Even though it didn't have any of these, it was a normal, regular animal coming and going and walking and talking. I don't know about talking, but at least walking. Then you don't need a pirchus, you don't need a zinik.
They happen, but it's not required for scripture.
It's exactly, it's totally not required. And mikolas one halalu ksheiri, it is kosher. And by the way, in case you ever go to a shlachtos, if you have nothing else to do on your board, go and you'll see that after a shechita, boy, does that animal, does it jerk around, and it's a geit and gimt. And one person told me, he remembers that an animal actually stood up and walked a few inches, decapitated, or at least de-simmoned, and walked around and collapsed again on the floor.
The shechita refers to the place where the neck, where the animal was geshachten.
The Tavra Beis Shechita. Right, Shlachtos is the house of the slaughterhouse.
The walls would be different, and you just made a distinction between the walls of the Shlachtos versus the
Beis Shechita means, as you heard from Barry, the neck of the animal. I'm sorry I didn't explain it better, Yeshakoyach. Normally, when you see in the Mishnah the Lashon and Matzik Solom, Layim Dam, you would think, oh, the walls all over, instead of being nice and white and pristine, they're all now red from blotches of blood that have spilled and burst onto them. However, Rashi already says here in the Mishnah, and the Gemara Mishnah we're going to see tomorrow, we're talking about the Koisah Beis HaShechita Satzavar, that after the Shechita, the neck area of the animal would normally, of course, have some blood, because blood is never spurting out from the two pipes. However, it would normally fall away. Here, you have a huge amount of blood that's still there in that area of where the animal was geshachten, in the Beis HaTzavar, Tavar, the neck area, still a huge amount of blood. So then you know that there was this zinik, and you don't have to worry about that this behenema was mesukin lomus prior to the completion of the shechita.
Zinik means flowing of blood, zinik.
Zinik, Rashi says, means kiluach. Kiluach means a stream. Even today in Israel, if you want to go and take a shower, they call it a miklachat. Why is miklachat? Because you have a stream of water that comes out of the pipe. So the kiluach means a bursting stream of blood. That literally the word zidka typically means that the behema is making such a guttural deep sigh, going, That's the new zinni.
It's more than just a sound.
But that, in this case, the animal is now dead.
It's gurgling.
It gurgles up and bursts up with all the blood Zinka's coming from.
Things.
Yeah. Anyway, look at Rashi in Zinka, third line at the top.
The
sound, you mentioned the gurgle sound and the blood coming out.
Their white smocks don't get bloody. They somehow or other, they know how to.
To avoid it? If you ever see a picture of people in the Shlachtos,
they wear helmet masks.
They wear white garments with, usually today it's all plastic, like plastic aprons. Anyway, look at the Rashi, third line to the top, Imzinka. Kederach shabahemis noif chois begroinim. Kederach shabahemis noif chois begroinim, the way that they go and sigh deeply through their garin, through the pipes down below, through their trachea. V'adam mikaleach mezanik bekoich. As a result of that deep sigh, when the animal gives its moan and groan, you don't just hear the sounds, but rather it also brings up tremendous volume of blood from down below, and it streams out and bursts out. B'koyach, can have gallons and gallons all spurting out at the same time. Anyway, bottom line is our Mishnah tells us that a regular mesukenis is an animal which you have to suspect may be on the verge of death, and unless you have these signs of pirchus or zinuk, you're not allowed to eat from this animal. How do you know that as a result of the pirchus or the zinik, there's a heterin going to eat it? Maybe you're not allowed to eat it. Maybe if this animal was so sickly, maybe it's like the status of a treif or an avela. Who says you're allowed to go and eat it? What makes you ask that question? In other words, what does a Jew do? He answers a question with a question. The Gemara asked, how do you know that a mesukin is mutter if there's pirchus? It's a freit yimara. Why would you think that it's also without the pirchus? I mean, what's the havel? What's the problem? So you might tell you what the problem is. This is a pasuk. So you say chaya shetechelu, and although the pasuk shot in the word chaya over here means a wild beast as opposed to behema, I think Gemara says chay b'chal beven b'chal chaya. However, the Gemara dashed in the word chaya over here not to identify an animal, but rather it comes to go and so you say chaya shetechelu b'chal behema. What does it come to tell you? Chaya achoil. If the animal is full of life, it's a leibedika chay with chayas, then achoil. Shein achaya. However, this animal is on the verge of death, that it has very little chayas left. It has its gasping, its last breaths. Loi saicha. And therefore, without the pirchus, no good. It's a gemara. Mesukin is ein achaya. And the mesukin ein achaya. And since it's ein achaya, that's the reason why I would think that it should be osur. And it's what the Gemara called shortly an Isser Asay. There's an Asay, so it's a chai shetoichlu. This is the chai that you're allowed to eat, the one that is lebedik. And this is the chai that you're not allowed to eat, the one that's not lebedik. And the sekenis ain't a chaya. And therefore, you cannot go and eat it. Okay, so now Lamaisa, with this pasuk alone, I would say, so you're not allowed to go and eat from the sekenis. How does pirchus or zinuk help that you can eat it? So I'll tell you why. It says in the pasuk, Nevela Loi Soichal. In truth of the matter, there is no such pasuk. However, the real girsa is Loi Soichal Kol Nevela. Same thing, but different words. Loi Soichal Kol Nevela, and now they're going in Nevela. Mechlal, the Mesukenes Shario. Now, Nevela, we know by definition, it means that the Ema really died. It's dead. Dead carcass. That you're not allowed to eat. So why did Torah have to go and say that? If you're going to tell me that a behemah she'ena chay, which means a behemah that's lost its life because it's misukenes, you're not allowed to eat. So what do you have to tell me that the behemah that actually expired, you can't eat? Madacha misukenes, you're not allowed to eat. Certainly you can't eat on the veila. If you tell me a misukin dika animal is aser, it's still alive, and you're saying it's aser. And therefore, bottom line is by the fact that it says it's crystal clear that a veila you're not allowed to eat, but you are allowed to eat a misukenes, but it's got to have that pirchus to show that it's still a chaya, it's still alive.
So the veil is a specific whatever the 18th, 20th, whatever you like, and the veil isn't a veil, has a specific definition.
Exactly.
This is a individual, if he's just alive or not.
It's pre-nevela.
What?
It's pre-nevela.
Mr. Kenneth, it's pre-nevela.
It'll never be a nevela. If this guy dies of old age, this baby was
dead. It'll be a nevela.
On the death, it becomes a nevela.
Right. Sure.
It's pre-nevela. It's pre-nevela.
It becomes a nevela.
Yeah, yeah.
Until that time, it's still,
until that time, it's still mutter. That's what the pshat. And that's why the Torah has to say, don't eat a nevela, because the nevela is already dead. However, the Mesukenis is not a nevela. It's pre-nevela. Therefore, you're allowed to eat it. So we answered our question. How do you know Mesukenis is mutter? By the fact that it says, nevela loisaychol, loisaychol nevela, only have it's dead, you're allowed to eat it. So before you're allowed. Frank Timara, the Dima had nevela had Mesukenis. How do I know that the word nevela is defined in the dictionary as post-misa? Maybe nevela means even an animal which is pre-misa, as long as it's a misukenis. Maybe that's also a nevela. And that's what the term means. Loisaychol kol nevela. Not only an animal that has 100% expired, but even an animal that's only 98% expired, that it's still shuckling for another couple of minutes, but it's on its deathbed. Maybe the same thing. That's impossible. The chassid says in the pasuk, v'chiyomis men abheima shehir v'chem la'achla, hanagim men if la'asa, yitma ad arif. Of course, that pasuk is talking about Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. However, we're using this pasuk to define the word nevela. When does it become a nevela? V'chiyomis men abheima, hanagim men if la'asa, is the chassim la'achem nisa, hu dekai yirachman nevela, mechayim lo ikri ne. Nevela. But what is it called, Mechaim? It's called Mesukenis. So a nevela, you're not allowed to eat post-mortem, post-misa. V'chiyomis min abahema, it's a nevela. Don't eat it, le'soichu kol nevela. But if it's pre-nevela, it's still alive, you are allowed to eat it. But maybe this Mesukenis died a second before the end of the Shechita. That's why you have to have the Pirchus test, or the Zinik test, to show that it was still alive before the Shechita ended. One second. Maybe Mesukenis is also called Nevela.
You just asked
the question. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Hai Nevela, Hai Mesukenis, Mechai. But, I'm sorry, Hai Mesukenis. But maybe what the Torah is trying to tell you is Mechayim bi'asei. In other words, that first pasuk, Zoy Sechai Shetoichlu, comes to tell you, chaya achoil, she'ena chaya loisaychal. If it's a misukenis, it's an ena chaya, don't eat it. That's what the Gemara calls an asay. It's not really an asay, it's a lav habo mechlal asay. Because the Torah is saying, this chaya, this living animal, you are allowed to eat. So let's now make with the grubber finger, let's now go and make an inference. This one, yeah, and something else, nish. Nice. Which is the other thing which is nish? The one that's not chaya, the one that's misukenes. So therefore, if a person eats a misukenes, he's over on a lav habam chlala, say, an iser esay. La'achar misa, what happens if it goes the next step? Now it's on a veila. Oh, nevela have a new pasuk. Loisaychu kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat nevela. That achamisa, it's not only just an iser asay. Now it is a lav, and therefore maybe misukenis and nevela hainu hach are exactly the same thing. The reason why the Torah divided up between the loy chaya and the case of the real nevela, the pre nevela and the post nevela, is to go and tell you pre nevela iser asay. Post nevela or post mortem, it becomes a nevela where there's an iser lav of leisoichul kol nevela. Say bazoi. Bottom line is they don't have a raya now. My whole raya. Remember, how did the Gemara start off? How do I know Mr. Kenneth is mutter? So I said, I know Mr. Kenneth is mutter because it's only osir after post mortem when it becomes a nevela. And only then, Pasuk says, leisoichul kol nevela. But prior to that, pre-nevela, it's mutter. Says, you want to know, maybe there's no such thing as pre-nevela. Maybe misukenis, that itself is a nevela. That's a nevela. But there are two different levels of nevela. There is a level of nevela pre-mortem, when the animal is still alive. It's called nevela. And the iser is of the iser asay. Of zoi sechai shetoichlu, but ein achai loy sechal. And now when it becomes a full-fledged nevela, post-mortem, mit a capital nun, a real nevela, then the Torah said there's a lot. But if that's the case, then I don't know that there's a heter to eat misukenis. Ella says, Imari, you're right. I'm going to start off a new drasha. Mit amr rachman, the Torah says, treifa loy sechal. You now let it go and eat a treifa. He says, treifa loy sechalu. in our beautiful Gemara, it's from Dovid, Shtei V'anchi Kodesh Tiyonli Uvasam Sada Treva Lo Yisei Chaylu.
Only in his Gemara
it says? But he's the one that sponsored. He bought these beautiful Gemaras. Nobody else sponsored. I don't think there's any other Shia in the world that has always such beautiful Gemaras that Reb Dovid always sponsors.
One Shia in the whole world.
Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. Minom Rachman, it says in the Pasuk, Treva Lo Yisei Chaylu, that you're not allowed to go and eat a Treva. Only a treifa you're not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to eat a misukenis. Now, what's the difference between a treifa and a misukenis? Gemara will explain. Big difference. Oh, these all goodbye to misukenis. See, if you're going to tell me that the fact that the animal is just misuken, it's feverish and weakly, and it's chas v'sholem, it's about to die, you're going to tell me that's awesome. Hashem misukenis delay mechasra asira treifa mi boya. The Gemara is assuming that the basic Hilchos Treifas are, without going into the many, many, many details, the treif is missing something. What's it missing? There's a hole over here, it's missing a limb over there, there's a hole in the heart, there's a hole in the lungs, there's a hole in the this and that. It's epis failed. Whether or not it means missing in the literal sense that a piece of the animal is missing, or it just means that there's a major, major mum in the animal. Rashi explains, for instance, treifa nikev krum shel moyach. Now, with a membrane around the brain, there's a hole in it, or nechtechura gleha, or nebuch part of its leg had been amputated. Mechuserasi, so that's a chisaron. So I'm not sure nikev krum shel moyach is really a chisaron in the traditional sense that something is missing. You can have a hole and nothing is missing. But presumably what he means is that this hole has caused here a major part of... Sorry?
It's a defect.
A major defect! That's the word we're looking for, a major defect. Mash'enke misukenes is no defect. It's just that the animal is very, very sickly. Says Zokti Yomara, if you're going to tell me that misukenes, a sickly animal, you're not allowed to eat, then certainly a treifa where something is missing, where you have a defect, then certainly you can't eat it. By the fact that the Torah only tells you about the defective treifa you can't eat, is mahmashma treifa you're not allowed to eat, but misukenis you are allowed to eat. Again.
I mean, to see Shiloh.
Yeah.
The treifa, you did the shechta correct, then you inspect the animal, to see if there's a hole in the lung, and then you post more than you possible that animal, even though you've been a kosher shechta, that animal becomes not kosher.
Great.
Why can't we apply the same rule to misukenis?
We're doing it. We're
in other words, misukenis.
We are doing
it. Shechta misukenis. Then you do a post.
We shechta the misukenis, and then we look for the simanim to say whether it was
right, that it died from the shechta. Why don't we use the supply of the same rules as any other animal misukenis? If you take a normal animal, everything's fine. Then you check the lungs. You see there's a hole or something in the lung. You post fact that animal becomes trey for animal. Yes, even though I did a kosher shechta, I can't eat this animal. So misukenis should have the same rule.
Both of you are right. Each time post-mortem you do your bedika, by the 18 treifas which you're going to learn about in Mitzvah in another 5 days in Perek El Treifas, the way to go and check is you go through your checklist. One of the things that passes if there happens to be a hole in the lungs, so you go and blow up the lungs and see is there a hole. You have a problem with a hole in the heart, take a look at the heart, see is there a hole. V'chuli v'chuli. By misukenis, you don't have that enumerated list of defects. Right. It's just a general weakness. Right. After the animal is dead, you can't go and say, okay, let's go and check the heart and see if it was weak. Let's go and take the vitals now of the heart and see what the blood pressure is. The animal is dead. So how can you go and tell what the animal was so sickly that it died pre-shechita? You can tell whether it had that pirchus or not, and that's the test. The test is not to check the lungs and check the heart, but to go and check the yad v'regel to see, did it go and do it? Pirchus
dav? Okay, fine.
Good. Right, that's what you answered. Oh, gosh,
he's not fully satisfied.
Okay, but we're on the road to Mitzvah. Anyway, nobody's happy to talk about death, even by animals. So that's that's could be expected. So anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So nochlo, miriam rachman a treifa lo yisaychal michlal the misukenes sharia. Need talk about the misukenes as asira. Hashem misukenes lo yimachasra. Madam misukenes that there's nothing missing. It's just a general weakness of this animal. Asir, if you tell me it's asir, treifa miboya. If you do have a real defect where something's missing, of course it's going to be asur. By the fact that the Torah says treifa is a simon that misukenes is what? Freit Yimar. Now the Gemara asks the same type of question that it asked on the previous test. The Duma had a treifa and a misukenes. Maybe the definition of treifa doesn't only mean treifa with the defect, but it's also misukenes that it's weakly and sick and all the rest, and therefore every misukenes is also a treifa. And add number 19 to your list on Daf Mem Beis, besides the defects of the hole in the heart and the hole in the lungs, etc. Also an animal which has a fever of 110 and is never collapsing under its own weight and cannot move, and then the veterinarian say, call the Chevra Kadisha for Behemoth, the Behemoth Chevra Kadisha. Maybe that's also called a treifa. V'laver Allah b'esev aloyseh. And in fact, well, the reason why the Torah says both the pasuk zoyse chaya she toichlu, which tells you chaya achoil v'she'ena chaya loy soichal, that's to tell you a mesukenis, which is ena chaya, don't eat, alav habom mechlal asay and isra say. And the reason why I have the pasuk is treifa loy soichal, this very mesukenis that you're talking about is also a treifa, and don't eat it. And now I have both an asay v'loy soichal. Says Gemara, if that's the pshat, the treif and the sukenis are the same, in kain neveil lichos rachman alamali, then why do I have to have the other iser of lo yisoichlu kol neveila that we brought before? What do you mean, lamali? Because madach mechayim koy Allah belav v'yesei. If the animal is still alive, you're telling me it's misukenis and is a din of an iser asay. It's also a treifa, assuming that. Treifa hainu misukenis. There's also an isalav of leisoichlu of a treifa leisoichal. So I have both an iser asay as well as a real lab. Madach mechayim koyalav belav yasay liachamis miboya. After the animal actually dies, it expires. Then a feshteitzach, it's going to be over. A person who eats from it will be over on the loises of yasay. So what do I need now? This special din of loisoichel kol nevela is a chasimen
that is not necessarily that is,
exactly that this misukenis is not considered to be a treifa. Misukenis is one thing. Misukenis is mutter. Treifa is asur because it's mechuseres. There's a defect. Nevela is asur because it's postmortem. But as long as it's a misukenis, it doesn't have a defect and it's still alive, it's kosher. But of course, you got to inspect it to make sure it didn't die. How do you do the inspection? That's the pirchus or the zinik test. Frank Dimara, the Dilma, Heine Nevela, Heine Trefa, Heine Misukenis. Maybe these terms are all synonyms, that an animal which is Misukenis is also a Nevela, and it's also a Trefa, and if a person were to eat from a Misukenis, in other words, from an animal that did not have a defect, and an animal that was Geshochten, and without the Pirchus, it's a misukenes. Maybe v'lamer ola b'shnei lab miyaseh. Maybe the Torah is going and really pouring it on to the person who eats an animal which is misukenes. He's over on the essay of zoyse chaya shetoichlu chaya chol shein chay loisaychel. He's also over on the iser of loisaychel kol nevela, and he's also over on the iser of treifa loisaychel. So maybe it's weiter osur. How do you know the misukenes is mutter to eat? Ella says, "You're right. I have a new limud. It says in the pasuk, 'V'chel nevela b'chel treifa yosel chol malacha v'ochal loyseichluhu.' We all know you're not allowed to go and eat chelet, even from a kosher geshochten animal. The shoych shechted it perfectly, and now you have to do what's called nikur, which means you have to go and devein it, take out the veins as well as the gidanasha, and you have to go and take out all of the chelet. You're not allowed to eat chelet." Now the question is, why does the pasuk have to tell you that chelev nevela, the chelev treifa, ochoy loyseichluhu, you're not allowed to eat? I know you're not allowed to eat. Madach, you can't even eat chelev of a kosher geshochten animal. Certainly you can't eat chelev of a nevela or of a treifa. V'yomamar, and in fact, they asked lo mayhilchasa. Why does the Torah have to go and tell you this din of ochoy loyseichluhu by chelev and nevela or chelev treifa? Zokti Mar. Omra HaTorah, the Torah especially added the Yochel Loisechlu to tell you that Yovi is an available Yochel is a Chelev. Yovi is a Treifa, Yochel is a Chelev, says Rashi, because otherwise I might have thought, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. This animal had Chelev before the animal was Geshochten, and before the animal died, and before the animal became a Treifa. In fact, the first day it was born, it already had Chelev. So it had Chelev ab initio from the outset of its birth. So I would think, if afterwards the animal dies and expires, there's no din of nevela on the chelev. There's a din of nevela on the basar. Don't eat the basar because it's nevela. But there's no nevela iser on the chelev. Zok the Torah, yes, for achal isachlu, if a person eats chelev nevela, be over on two iserim, an iser of chelev and an iser of nevela. Good, so that's the pshat of the pasuk.
Then you'd be also over on the issue of eating a dover to nevela as tummy b'mago masa, and we're learning hachos tuma v'tahara. So if a person eats nevela, it doesn't have a shechita to mitar it from its nevela tuma.
Right.
She's also eating a dover tummy.
Right.
So be a third. Wouldn't it be a third lav? A third lav eating. You said eating a dover tummy is a lav.
We had earlier on the machlokes between the blaz and the bishul, which is apparently what you're referring to. The din of tuma is gevia.
Right. Expression, right?
That a person who goes and eats a dover tamei, his whole body becomes tamei, and as a result, that's why he would not be able to eat subsequently truma and kochim. Most of the mandiyam, this whole tumas kviya, is one of the gzeirois, yud ches gzeirois that you have in Masechta Shabbos. And in Masechta Shabbos, although there is a machloikis, but most of the tanoim or amiroim hold that this is a derabbanan, not a deraisa. So therefore, we're talking about the deraisa dinam, that you're not allowed to eat this piece of chaylev because you're going to get two whammies. Number one, you're over in the isra nevela. Number two, you're over in the isra chaylev. That you're not allowed to eat it. Derabbanan, if a person were to go and eat it, then he wouldn't be able to eat truma and kachim afterwards because of this din of tumas gvir. And the main reason for tumas gvir is, why would the goyzer? Because I'm afraid that whilst he's eating that, maybe after that,
you drink some chumadika wine.
Exactly. At the same time. Now, it could also be, we have to look up that Gemara again in Masechta Shabbos, it could be that that dinner of Tumas Gevi is only referring to something which you are allowed to eat, and the Chamumur Gezgoizer because of the drinking of the wine. What do you mean that you're allowed to eat? If you have chulin that became tame, person has a whole bunch of, he has bread, he has bananas, he has fruits and vegetables, and unfortunately, a nevela touched all of them, or sherets touched all of them, and now they became tummy. Meikra did you allow to eat it? There's nothing, of course, you have to make a brucha, sure. Make a bari preitz, make a bari pridoma, make a moitzi, whatever the appropriate brucha is. But there's nothing, there's no iser in eating chulin tamein. Even a kohen is allowed to eat chulin tamein. The only reason why you're not allowed to go and eat it is because you go and eat it, the chacham said, oh, iser gevia, because after that you might go and drink. Okay, so that's maximum derabbanan, and it could be that it only applies to kosher items that you would normally be allowed to eat. Here, you're not allowed to eat nevela and chaylev anyway, so it could be that they didn't bother adding to it the din of tumas gevia. Was up to you?
If I'm not mistaken, also, when we were going to the sugya, and it's a long sugya, but it's only if you're originally tohor, if you're tamei anyway, there is no.
There might be no problem. Because anyway,
you can't issue anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. They're fine. But anyway, but you can see why it wouldn't apply to this, because anyway, it's faster
deraisa. These are deraisa,
and you don't need to have the deraisa by something which is also anyway the deraisa. You don't have to worry about drinking the truma wine at the same time, because I'm now going to eat the nevela in the first place. Exactly. It's a very touchy situation. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, we still haven't answered the question, how do I know that Pirchus is mutter to eat? Says he, if you're going to tell me the definition of the word treifa, includes not only one of the 18 defects in the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis, but also a behemoth which is just sickly, and the Gemara will tell us on the bottom of the omelet, sickly means you want to keep the animal standing and nebuch it collapses, it refuses to stand because it's nebuch how sick it is. If you're going to tell me that's the definition of treifa, lich v'rachmana, let the Torah shorten this pasuk instead of saying the chaylev nevela, the chaylev treifa, ye asa lechol melacha, the achay loyseichluhu. Rather shorten it and say chaylev nevela, ye asa lechol melacha. You're allowed to have hanoah from chaylev. You're not allowed to eat it. You're allowed to have hanoah. And also, ye asa kamelacha comes to tell you that it's not mitamei mishum nevela. The chaylev treifa loyseichluhu, not the achay loyseichluhu, which would go on both chaylev nevela and chaylev treifa, but just chaylev treifa loyseichlu, don't eat treifa. Vanu amina, I could make my own kal v'chaymer. What's my kal v'chaymer? Umadach mechayim osi iser treifa. Chayel iser chaylev. If you're going to tell me that the word treifa means not only the 18 treifas, but also misukenes. Aha. So madach, you're telling me chaylev treifa, a chaylev, a misukenes, you're not allowed to go and eat. Even though it's mechayim, the animal is still alive. Uma mechayim, osi iser treifa, chaylev iser chaylev. La'achem iser boya, after the animal expires, then v'shteitzach is going to be an iser on it. What do you have to have the ochel iserchlu, both on the chaylev treifa and the chaylev neveila? El merkosa rachmona, neveila, mechad treifa, la'avayin misukenes. These two are mutually exclusive.
The Gemara keeps saying the same answer, but the same, we keep on asking the Gemara, how chassidic does Zelba and
Pinchas? Exactly. Each time the Gemara tries to find...
Same answer again.
Exactly. Every time we try to find the Makar, how do we know the Nesukenes is...
We want to see if we can consistently apply the same reasoning.
Exactly.
Same reasoning. It's not that there's a new chiddush. It's interesting, there's not a new chiddush for the new question. It's the same answer every time.
It applies here.
So now, bottom line is, excellent. So now, maybe Viter is the same thing. They are synonyms. What do you need the Torah to go and say about the Chelev Nevela that it's Osir v'Ochaloi Sechu Hermadach Mechaim it's Osir La'achamis is also Osir Lomeli L'hach Nevela Tli Asya Oh maybe Lomeli L'hach Nevela Tli Asya Mikoyach Mizukenes. Maybe you're talking about a Nevela that didn't happen as a result of a frail animal that Nebuch was sickly and eventually died. Maybe you're talking about an animal which was Gizint Azuvi, an ox Azuvi, a fed, a real strong animal. What happens if the owner of the animal, or Haganef of the animal, took this live, healthy animal that everybody said, oh, this animal, boy, this is strong as an ox. And in fact, it was an ox. What did a person do? He took one of these big, big meat cleavers, butcher knives, or a big, big hatchet, and he gave a zetz down the middle of the behemoth and divided the behemoth in half. And now this animal, of course, now is an avela. Why is it in the veil? Because exactly, it was not gishochten. It's a dead animal now, and it was not misukenes. And therefore, maybe that's why I need the special pasuk of chelav nevela v'chelav treifa ochol loisechlu. So you said, madach, if you're going to tell me that the animal when it's still alive is osur al treifa, then certainly after it died, it certainly is going to be osur. Says you want no. This chelav nevela is talking about a situation where it was never a misukenes in the first place. It was a gizunt animal, and the animal died because somebody went and chopped it in half. So might I need that pasuk? So Gemara says, "Nami yefshelam misukenes porta mikami the lipstick laruba." The Gemara gives what I think is a doichik teretz. What the Gemara is saying is, before Yutaka took this meat cleaver and bashed it down the middle, you're absolutely right. The animal at that time was strong as an ox. But once you started this gistra, in other words, once the initial impact of the hitting of the animal with this meat cleaver hit it, guess what happened? It became already at that time very, very sickly, because anytime you go and give a zetz to the spinal column to the animal, the havlo just...
It could be a devastating
blow, even before you finish off the entire gistra, splitting the animal into two pieces. And therefore, the Gemara means to say is that every nevela involves ashtiko misukenes before it actually becomes a nevela. That being the case, why do I have to have a pasuk of v'chelav nevela, v'chelav treifa, achoy loy sechlu? It would be enough just to say chelav treifa. Is the chasimin that only when it's a nevela li'achar misa, then achoy loy sechlu? But if it's just a misukenes, achoy toichluhu. And with this we have now completed our first makor, our first raya, that an animal which is misukenes, you're allowed to eat. But of course you have to have the pirchus or the zinik test. But if it meets the pirchus and zinik test, you're allowed to eat misukenes. How do I know? From the extra words, chelav nevela, ochol lo yiseichlo. That's answer number one. Viba yiseima, another answer which is similar. And kem lema, chelav nevela, utreifa. Why does the pasuk say, chelav nevela, v'chelav treifa, yi osa l'chol melach av ochol lo yiseichlo? Leave out the extra word, chelav, and just say chelav nevela. And treifa, chelav lamali, zui she'en chelba cholik mipsara. It's by the nevela and the treifa where the Torah says, just like you're not allowed to eat the flesh of this animal because it's either nevela flesh or it's treifa flesh, you're not allowed to eat the chelav either. However, the eshtochacheres, but there's another type of animal that although the chelav you're not allowed to eat, shechelba cholik mipsara, chelav you can't eat, but you are allowed to eat the basar. Which one is that? Zumasukenes. In other words, there's something which is very similar to nevela treifa. but it's still different. What the same, almost the same, but it's different. Then Nisukenes. Nisukenes is almost as Aprinavel, Apritrefa. But because it's only Nisukenes, the Torah says only Chelev Nevela, Chelev Trefa, Ocholoi Seichluhu. The Nisukenes, Ochol Teichluhu. So we now have two rayas. One for the fact that it says the whole chelev nevela all together, and the other raya is from the fact that it says chelev twice. People say mahalcha, and the Gemara says I have yet another raya, and this is already from Navi, which is curious. We had two rayas from the Torah, the Gemara is bringing a raya from Navi, but this raya from the Navi is also a very stark raya, and this is talking about the Navi Yechezkel. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu was angry at Navi Yechezkel, either individually or as a representative of Klal Yisrael. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel to do something that Yechezkel felt offended. Now, what exactly happened? Agmara doesn't quote why Yechezkel was offended, but Rashi does us a favor, and Rashi brings it here. If you go about 10 lines before the wide lines down below, Rashi says, "Hinei nafshi loy mitumar." Yechezkel coming to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yechezkel is now complaining to Hashem. The fish are yoimalai. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, "Kach lechachita musa'irim," and mix it all up. The ugas sa'irim teichlena. Go and eat such a barley bread. How are you going to go and bake it? He begulolei soya sa'odim to genalei name. Go and use as your fuel to go and light up the oven and to bake your barley bread. Nebuch the tzoya of people. You can see why a person would consider that to be very repulsive and very offensive. So it says now Yechezkel to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vusab ich gesindigt, why am I going to have to eat this barley bread that was baked on tzoyas Adam? Zogt jetzt die Gemara, Va'oimer, in the middle of the Amid, Va'oimer, Aha Hashem Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei nafshi loy mitumah, I was careful not to go and be metame my neshama, my nefesh. When the Velu Treifa Le'achalti, and I never ate the Velu Treifa min Ura Li'arata, from the day that I was born, from my youth until today. V'loy bar b'fi basar pigol, I never eat any pigol. So now the Gemara is bothered by L'choyra, all the things that Yechezkel is saying applies to all of us as well. None of us are going to be metama our nefesh chas v'sholem b'meizid. You know, b'shoigig, if we become tame, become tame. Any of us are going to eat nevelu treifa chas v'sholem.
He never became.
Exactly. Any of us are going to eat basa pigal? So what is Yechezkel saying? Kodesh Baruch Hu, I am so pious, I was so careful, and you're feeding me this nebuch, this offensive, repugnant barley bread. Dash nimar. I was exceptionally careful not to have any bad hirhurim b'yoyim, so I shouldn't be moitzi kera at night, moitzi keri at night. And the veilu treifa le'achalti min urai min shle'achalti baser kois kois me'olam. What is kois kois? Rashi says kois kois means like shchoit shchoit. The animal was a mesukenes, and the Balaam said, "Shoichet shnel shecht shecht," before the animal dies, because once the animal dies, it's a nevela; nobody will be able to eat from it. Shnel, go and shecht it when it's still a mesukenes. V'loy bar b'fi baser pigol. What does that mean? We don't mean real baser pigol. We mean shleichalti behema shahira b'chacham. I never ate from a behema if I had to ask a shaylas chacham. If there was a shaylas tasir chadihin and a hair. Once he was a shayla, I said, forget about it, it's treif, I'm not going to even bother
so
asking.
He only did the short thing.
Exactly. Then why does the Gemara call this v'leibah b'fi basa pigal? What does basa pigal have to do with v'heim v'shahoyra b'aychachem shoya? Zotach the marishah. Because a machsheves pigal, what means a machsheves pigal? A person has a machshava that hassles the food. In other words, ishle b'mkoyim, ishle b'zmanoy. Here the machsheves pigal was the fact that you had to go and ask the ruv, means that the person is thinking to himself, this animal probably is not kosher. That's why people are asking the rabbi. So that was the machshava of pigol, in the sense that he thought that the animal is not kosher. Since I had that machshava, I already stayed away from it. I didn't even go and bother touching it or eating it. But then he's talking, saying, he's just thinking about it.
Why even go through the motion?
Exactly.
If you already have a doubt.
Exactly. And Mishum Rimnazan Amru, Shleichaltim Behemah, Shleichum Matnonisev. What are the matonis that you give from a behemah? The Zeroya, Lachayayim, Ve'akeva. And Toysis brings that later on, the Gemara, we're going to have a Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, that giving Zeroya, Lachayim, Ve'akeva is almost the same as giving Trumas and Maestris from Teva. that until you give the Jews a Maisis, you're not allowed to eat the Tevel. Until you give the three Matonis, the Reuach and the Kev, you're not allowed to go and eat from the animal. So what? So if you're not allowed to eat this, none of us are allowed to eat it. What's the Chiddush of Yecheskel and Avi? Says Toysis, Yecheskel was a Kohen.
Right.
He was entitled to go and eat the Zeroy L'chayayim V'akeva. Zot Yecheskel, I'm not going to go and eat it until someone's mafrish and is meirim these matonis. If they didn't go and meirim the matonis, I'm not going to eat the matonis, I'm not going to eat the flesh.
It's like a coin eating tevel.
Exactly. So I'm going to stick away from it. Fine. So that's the chumris that Yecheskel is saying about himself. I was such a machmir, and Nebuchadnezzar is giving me this repugnant barley bread. So do you want, if you're going to go and tell me that Mesukenis is mutter, that's what Yecheskel was saying. I never ate from Mesukenis, Bosser kois meyolim, where the Baalim said, Shnel, shechted, the behemoth is about to expire. I stayed away from it. Amris, Asira, if you're going to tell me that Mesukenis is also to everybody, you and me and everybody else. So my Rebbe was Yecheskel. So Yecheskel was an Erev Chayiv like everybody else. So what's so special? Anyway, with this we have concluded now the three Rayas. We started with the Gemara, how do I know Mesukenis is Mutter as long as it passes the Pirchus or Zinik test? So either it was from the fact that we have the extra words Chaylev Neveila Ochalei Sechluhu, or it's because they have the extra word chaylev, they could have said chaylev once and it says chaylev twice, or from this raya from Yecheskel that Mesukenis is mutter to eat to everybody, except for a person like Yecheskel, was a regoisa machmer, and he didn't even eat from Mesukenis flesh. But now, what's the definition of Mesukenis? Hey, chidam Mesukenis, I'm Rezino Merav, koshem aminin oisa, ve'eno emedis. You stand the animal up, and it's not able to stand on its own four legs, but it just collapses as Zaya Zaya Shvach. And the Gemara now really tries to emphasize that and to dramatize it. And it says, Rav Chanina, who said this? That was Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Now Rav Chanina Bar Shalmi Mishmei Derav adds, Omar Afilo Echeles Bekiyos. Even if you see that this animal, while it's crouching and lying on the floor, it can't stand up, but its teeth are so strong that it's biting and eating into wood, makes no difference. As long as the animal doesn't stand on its four legs, it's Mesukenis. Roman by Yecheskel, Amrafilo Yecheles Kairos. Even if you see this animal is such an ox, it is so strong that it's even biting into beams like you use for construction. Makes a difference. If it doesn't stand up, it's Mesukenis. Now, this Girsa that we had until now, three Mandi Yomrin, Rav Yehuda Marav, then Rav Chanina by Shalmiya, and then Rav Yehuda by Yecheskel, that was Besura Masni Hachi. That's how they learned it in Surah. The Besura Masni Hachi and Pavadisa, they had a slightly different Girsa. Not a difference in halacha, but in difference of the mandi amrim. Again, hey chidam yisakenis, what's the definition of yisakenis? Amr v'yidah marav, koshem aminim, oysa v'yidah emetis. That's the same v'yidah marav that we said before. But in the first lashon by surah, it says, now Rav Chanina by Shalmiya adds a filo echeles b'kiyos. According to the Pompadisa version, Rav Yehuda Marav already said that on his own. Rabbi Bar Yecheskel is the same thing like we had before. So the difference between the first lashon and the second lashon is that the first lashon we had three mandi yamim, and Rav Chanina Bar Shalmiya expanded and expounded on what Rabbi Yehuda Marav said. And according to the second version, we don't need Rav Chanina Bar Shalmiya because Rabbi Yehuda Marav already said on his own. But otherwise, there's no difference. Just finish off. Ashkenu Shmuel, tell me the Rav. Omer lehu, my Omer Rav Mesukenis. What did Rav say by the halacha Mesukenis? Omer lehachi Rav. Rav said, not only is it the cases that we had in the Mishnah with the Pirchas Yad Veregel, but it could be Goya. Goya says Rashi means Tzayekis. It gives out a shray after the Shechita. It screams, oh, with that tremendous moo. Veitil rei, or if it's moitzi tsoya right after the shechita, its whole body goes into spasms and it goes to the bathroom without going to the bathroom. Vekishkish be'ozna. We didn't have this kishkish be'ozna until now. Until now we had kishkish biznova with a tail. Here means that the ears start flapping up and down, back and forth, which is of course very, very rare. So Rav says that the pirchas is also good to pirchas. Amal Hus, Shmuel now said to Tamid the Rav. Ozni? Well, I never heard of such a test.
He says Oni.
Oni. But Oni means the same thing as Ozni.
Jesus,
look at the Rashi, third box. Oni, the Farchi, so Oizen. Sorry?
Specifically
about the ear test. See Rashi, the Azuzi Oini, so Rashi, the Farchi, so Oizen. Pitmia, the Pirchus Chayes Godel Huze. That is, wow, that is. What do the youth say today? It's amazing! Did you ever see an animal going flap its ears up and down, back and forth? Even a normal animal doesn't stop flapping ears, right? Did you ever see a person flapping ears back and forth? Anyway, that's what you require for Pirchus. On the side is a gear, so anything that a normal animal, when it dies, doesn't do that type of thing, does heist. Pirchus. My Nina, what are those types of things? And the Hashem to be continued tomorrow. The Atom, thank you, Hashem, Chaim, Kolchem, Hayyim. Brother Shai, have a wonderful day.